Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Happy Friday to you. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. We have a lot of stuff to get into today. Steph Curry, out at least 3 months. That's a wrap, guys. That's a wrap. 49ers Cardinals played last night. Who impressed you the most? And we have some baseball stuff we're going to wrap up with today. We are scheduled to be joined by the one, the only, Eileen Carrasco, reporter, host, marketing specialist, TV personality. She does it all. She will be right here on the Cave Show with us at around 1:30. And then we have Mia Chambers from Gameplay at 1:10. This is the Cave Show with PLR, and we are brought to you, of course, by the one, the only, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. Become a club member. Get a lock of their backs directly up to a humidor. That's at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine. Televisions all over the place. They do have the NFL ticket. You can watch all your college football there, all your basketball there. Got some hockey on if you're a hockey fan. Everything is there for you. Grab a stick, grab a adult beverage, and sit back and relax at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Again, let them know that PLR sent you. And it will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. Call-in number is 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. That is the Carrie Lackey Law Line. You got something on your mind you want to talk to us about? Feel free to do so. A lot of things to get into today. We're going to get these picks done for you at 10 minutes after the hour. I'm going to tell you who's going to win this week. And you can book it. You can guarantee it. Don't bet your kids college tuition on it. But I'm going to give you a heads up. I'm going to let you know who's going to do what. Some surprising news before I talk a little bit about the Cardinals. And the 49ers game from last week. Looks like the Mets have decided on a new skipper, Carlos Beltran. Looks like he is set to become the Mets' new skipper. Played for him for, I want to say, 7 years. So the Mets have their guy. That's another player walking right into the position. Not saying he doesn't deserve it, but I like it because in certain sports, you can do that and you can be fine. And there are certain sports where you're not. Certain sports, and I'm more familiar, obviously, with basketball coaching and then football and then on the baseball. Baseball, it just seems like you got to know so much because you kind of have to know what's going on all around you down in the farm league. Someone gets hurt. And I know there's someone that you can lean on and say, hey, who can we call up if so-and-so gets hurt or something of that nature. But it seems like a lot in terms of organization, in terms of everything else, stepping right off. Well, I shouldn't say right off the playing field, but not a lot of buffer in between. But good luck to him. He was a hell of a player. That we all know. Carlos Beltran, a hell of a player. Last night, though, here in the desert, out in Glendale, Cardinals played San Francisco 49ers, who going into the game had not lost, undefeated, ran the ball all over you, ran the ball well, did a lot of things well as a group. They were a 10-point favorite, but the Cardinals fought. And had Earl Burnett on yesterday, and he knows more about the Cardinals than just about everybody. And he was talking about things that they possibly had to do. The one thing that he didn't see coming, I didn't see coming, you didn't see coming, no one saw coming, was that Kenyon Drake was going to come in, carry the ball 15 times for 110 yards and a touchdown. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Kyler Murray had a compliment to his passing game. The one thing, though, that's going to be tough when you play San Francisco is balancing that time of possession. And even though the Cardinals defense played well enough, so to speak, to keep the Cardinals in the game or never let the game get out of hand, let me say it like that, they never could come up with anything big when they needed it. They never got San Francisco off the field when they needed to get San Francisco off the field. They gave up a total of 411 yards. Clean game, though. No turnovers either side. But that time of possession, 34 minutes to 25 minutes. First downs. Competitive, 21 for San Francisco, 19 for the Cards. But third down efficiency. Cards were 2 for 8. San Francisco, 11 for 17. And even though I said time of possession, and even though I talked about, you know, little things like the amount of plays ran, I talked about the amount of yards and the time of possession, but when I talk about San Francisco ran 69 plays to the Cardinals 50. Now, a lot of folks say, well, the offense has to do more, they got to do this, they got to do that. A lot of times I agree with that. But this is one of those times where the defense has to get you off the field. They've got to come up with a play that allows them to get off and allows them to get rest. And there were times where the defense just, in all honesty, they just didn't do it. They didn't help themselves. You have to be able at times to help yourself. And for example, I'm going to give you the plays that San Francisco ran. So the Cardinals scored to make the game 28-25. But they needed to get the ball back. San Francisco gets the ball with 4 minutes, 47 seconds left, roughly somewhere in that ballpark. And I'm going to just read you the plays, just to kind of give you an idea of what I mean by when I say the Cardinals really need to do some things defensively to help themselves and get themselves off the field. But we'll get picks to you in a second. I just want to illustrate this really quickly. So they get the ball, San Francisco. Cardinals have a couple timeouts, and we'll talk about that later, about the timeout situation and some of the things that, Cliff Kingsbury did. And it's even though one of those timeouts I think I would have held, maybe the challenge I think I would have held, but it's something he said after the game that I think that strikes me more. But anyway, San Francisco gets the ball, 4:47. Breida, left tackle, minus one. Timeout, Cardinals. And that's one we're going to talk about a little bit later. Garoppolo, incomplete pass. 3rd and 11. Garoppolo then passed to Sanders, 16 yards, first down. Okay. Breida up the middle, 5 yards. 2nd down. Breida up the middle, 2 yards. 3rd and 3. Tevin Coleman runs for 3 yards. And that's the one that the Cardinals challenged. They lost the timeout. But it's 2:27. You're like, okay, if we hold here, we'll get the ball back and maybe have some going because we still have the 2-minute warning. Breida, right tackle, off right tackle, minus two. Timeout, Cardinals. Coleman up the middle, 8 yards. It's now 3rd and 4 at the 43. So you got to stop him here. False start, San Francisco. Beautiful, right? It's going to push you back. And on 3rd and 4, they came out in the shotgun. San Francisco came out of shotgun. They weren't trying to hold on to this game. They were trying to win this game. They were trying to put the Cardinals away. So there was no running and running the clock out. It was catch this ball, let's go in, let's do this. So they get a false start. It's now 3rd and 9. And what do? You give up an 11-yard pass to Dwelly. 1st down, winner's formation, kneel, game over. You had 3 shots to get off the field. 3 opportunities to get off the field. And you never got off the field. And so a lot has been made of Kingsbury and the timeouts and why'd you use him here? Why'd you do this? Why'd you take him there? Why'd you waste it? Why'd you waste it on a challenge? When he challenged, even I cringed just a little bit. I was like, ooh, too close. But let's be honest. Let's say he had kept those timeouts in his pocket. Wouldn't have mattered. Defense couldn't get anybody off the field. So, defense can't get you off the field. You could have 800 timeouts. They're not going to stop you. But one thing he said after the game is really what got me. In a local interview that he was doing, he said to a reporter, yeah, you know what, offensively, we didn't do this, we didn't do that offensively. And later on, he talked about the whole team and the defense. And maybe it's because he's an offensive coach. That's the first thing he thought of. But I don't think offensively that would have been the first thing I thought. I mean, when I think of the game, that wouldn't have been the first thing I thought of. I think the first thing I would have thought of was we had 3 opportunities to get them off the field, and we did. We had 3 opportunities to get the ball back, and we did. And this is where I'm going to agree with my friend Earl Burnett from KSRN, Casual Sports. Maybe Vance Joseph is a problem. Maybe. I mean, I know Vance Joseph can't run. He can't tackle. He can't make you do the things that you're supposed to do. But if you have 3 third downs in a row and you can't get them off the field, that finger has to point back to someone. Now, I'm not saying they get the ball back, they drive down, and they tie and win, or tie and go to overtime and win, or they win the game. I'm not saying that. But it's obvious offensively they had something cooking. And as a defense, you've got to get them off the field. As a defense, you know this is a running team. And I know they say you got to give up something, but you can't give up four touchdowns to Jimmy Garoppolo. And I know eventually every finger points back at the head coach. I understand that. But I'm not liking what I'm seeing defensively. I did not like the defensive execution of that game. The timeouts that were taken by Cliff Kingsbury. I know, you know, you could easily sit back and second guess everything. That's really, really easy to do. I'm not a fan of taking a timeout with the other team having a ball at the 1 yard line. I'm not a fan. And yeah, the Cardinals stuffed the play, but they had called timeout. So San Francisco changed up the play, threw it in, got a touchdown. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of necessarily icing a kicker. And that wasn't a kicking situation. Now, I'm not saying it's bad. And there are times I think you do it. If you have a weak-minded kicker, you have a kicker that, say, is kicking a 50-yarder that's never kicked one in the wintertime or in rain or in wind, and you want them to think about it, I get that. Just like on the other side, if someone takes the last-minute timeout, don't kick that ball. You don't need a practice game. You practice before the game. You practice in practice. Don't make that kick. Because it seems like every time someone makes that kick and they go through with it, then they go to kick it and they miss it. But I didn't like the challenge. It's too close. I didn't like the time out early in the set of downs for San Francisco with 4 minutes left. To me, that was too early. But we did learn the Cardinals are getting better. The Cardinals are not going to be an easy out for anyone by any stretch of the imagination. Let's pay a couple bills. Let's come back. Let me get you your winners for this week in exactly 30 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Let's do it, y'all. Let's get into these picks. We're about 10 minutes away from hearing some great World Series stuff from Eileen Carrasco. So, the NFL, and let's crank up our background with a little America by the one and only Prince Rogers Nelson. So, first game, it's happening, Wembley Stadium in London. Jacksonville, Houston. No J.J. Watt for Houston. Jacksonville, Minshew happens. Give me Jacksonville in that game. I think it'll be an entertaining game. Maybe it's just me, but I think you're going to get a lot of points scored in that game. And when I tell you a lot of points, I think you're going to get that cash register type points. But I'm liking Jacksonville, and I'm liking Jacksonville a lot in that game. I think they win. They're a 1.5-point dog. I think they're a straight-out win. Take Jacksonville and go make you some loot. Although, gambling is not legal in a lot of places, so for entertainment purposes. Washington goes to Buffalo. Washington sucks. Buffalo's mad. They lost the game, and I think they thought they should have won. Rookie Haskins for Washington is making his first start. Take Buffalo. Take the 10 points. Buffalo cruises this week. Cruises. Minnesota, Kansas City. That's going to be an incredible game. Incredible game. Will Mahomes play? Won't he play? What's he going to do? Ignore the points. Take Minnesota on the road to upset Kansas City. The Jets go to Miami. Who cares? Do you care? I don't care. This game could be completely off TV. Miami is a 3-point dog at home. This is the week Miami wins. Give me the Dolphins. Win number one on the season. Chicago goes to Philadelphia. I'm done with it. My Bears, you broke my heart for the last time. I'm done with you. You broke my heart for the last time. Take Philadelphia. Take the points. Mitch Trubisky, still the quarterback. Go with him. Hell, I'm done with him. My feelings are hurt so much, I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm just hurt. Indianapolis goes to Pittsburgh. James Conner's shoulders are all messed up. Will he play? Won't he play? Will it matter? I think not. Give me the Colts. They're going to run all over Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh. And yes, I do know Pittsburgh's favorite. I don't think it matters. Colts are going to run. Pittsburgh won't do anything to stop it. Tennessee goes to Carolina. Carolina's good. Tennessee could be good. This game is going to be really boring. Tannehill versus a backup. I mean, that's, they can pub the game like that and nobody would care one way or another. Carolina's at home. Carolina wins just because they're at home. Detroit goes to Oakland. Detroit's going to win this game. I know Oakland's not a pushover. Detroit was out mentally, I think, but with the last win and the Bears' loss, that gave them some hope. They are a 2.5-point dog. Take them and the points. They win outright. Tampa Bay goes to Seattle. The human turnover machine, known as Jameis Winston, will be just that in Seattle against the 12. A good friend of mine told me Seattle never covers. 5 points. Tampa Bay on the road. Jameis Winston, turnover machine. Yeah, this is the week Seattle does cover. 5 points, they cover. Give me Seattle. Give me the points. And give me a whole lot of turnovers. And just so you know, I'm expecting a bunch of turnovers. I have Seattle's defense in the fantasy league, and I'm actually playing them on purpose over the Chicago Bears. Cleveland goes to Denver. I want to pick Cleveland so bad. Denver's going to play a new quarterback. Flacco has neck problems. I think he owes a lot of it to the guillotine, because when he stuck his neck out and ran his big mouth, his coaches said, yeah, okay. So you want to talk about us? Talk about us from the bench. I've never seen anyone get hurt so fast from a press conference to the following morning to know that they would be out the following Saturday, and now they're out for the year. But you don't need neck surgery. Joe Flacco needed a dose of shut the hell up. You're not good enough to talk this much. Give me Cleveland in this game. Give me Cleveland to win. Denver's a 4.5 point. It's a 4 point dog at home. Give me Cleveland, and they're gonna cover. I'll go all out. I'm on board with you, Bake. Although, do me a favor. If things don't go your way, just shut the hell up. Green Bay goes to L.A. to play the Chargers. Give me Green Bay. Give me Aaron Rodgers over Jared Goff. Over Phillip Rivers. They're a 3.5 point favorite, and they're going to cover that 3.5 points. Green Bay is one of the top three teams in the NFL. The Chargers are. I just tried to simplify it as much as I could. New England goes to Baltimore. Finally, Baltimore gets this game there. They get it in Baltimore. And you know what? Baltimore's going to win. Baltimore's going to hand New England their first loss of the year. They're not going to know what to do with Lamar Jackson. Yeah, I firmly believe it. New England's a 3-point favorite on the road. I don't give a damn about those points. Baltimore tells the smart people in Vegas what to do with their points and what to do with thinking that you're going to lose at home to New England. Give me Baltimore and a flat-out, straight-up win. And then Monday night, we got Dallas going to New York to play the New York football Giants. New York is a 7-point dog at home to the Dallas Cowboys. This is a division rival. This is a rival that goes back. No one in a division rivalry game ever gets 7 points. Ever. That's an insult. I don't care what Daniel Jones have looked like. They have Saquon Barkley. And a 7-point dog at home, that is insulting. Well, you know what, Giants? Take that insult, because you're going to lose by more than 7. The Cowboys are going to come in, and they're going to walk all over you. Ezekiel Elliott is going to run for at least 125 yards. On that terrible defense. Saquon is going to do what Saquon does. He's going to try single-handedly to keep the lousy Giants in the game, but he will not be able to do it because the Cowboys are going to beat the snot out of the Giants. You have it. I just gave you my pick. We are laboring to get Eileen on. Step away for about 30 seconds. Come back. Talk a little Suns until we get her on the line. Until then, we'll see you in 30 seconds.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line right now, on the Cave Show with PLR, the one, the only, reporter, host, marketing specialist, TV personality. I'm everywhere I need to be. I'm everywhere you want to be. I am in charge of everything that goes on. I know what's happening and the landscape. My friend, the one, the only, Lynn Carrasco, what is up? How are you?
Oh, my goodness. Can you call me and wake me up every morning like that? That is the best. You always give me the best introductions. Hi,
well,
how
just
are
the
you?
Truth. I am good. You know what? I feel special because I've been following you via Instagram. You've been in every city covering the World Series, all the craziness. Home teams don't know how to play at home. You're in the middle of it, and you come back, and I get to get you on. So I thank you very much.
Oh, man, no problem. You know, I always make time for you. Come on, especially after the World Series. It was insane. I actually didn't go to Washington, but I was at two games in Houston, and I came back here because I had certain to do events here, and then went back again to the World Series. I was sure that we're going to go to Game 7.
So explain this to me, please. How do you win every road game? How crazy was that?
That is insane. That's the first time in baseball history that the visiting team has won all the seven games of the series. Always the visiting team.
So game seven. The Astros had to have, and their fans in that building, I know it had to be electric, but they had to have a good feeling going into game seven thinking, okay, it's baseball, the phrase, we're due. We're due for a home win. It had to feel like that there.
Yeah. That was, I feel like that's what everybody thought. Okay, the Astros are finally going to get crowned at home. Because if you remember in 2017, they were crowned in L.A.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's how it felt that night.
So Greinke had it going. I mean, he looked good. He only had 73, 75 pitches when AJ came to get him. Did everyone kind of feel they'd be going to Gerrit Cole there? Or that seemed kind of weird to get him out. I know he had given up a home run. I know he gave up a single. But he had 75 pitches. He looked in control. Did it feel weird, or was it just – did it feel like the right thing at the time?
No, I still am in shock with that. I feel like that's what definitely changed everything. Greinke was doing great. He was doing great. He actually showed the people why he was a 5-time Gold Glove winner. And then through the first six innings, the Nationals only had two base runners. And then they take and in that inning, the seventh inning, their five hitters were home run, walk, home run, single, and a walk. And it's like, really? Why? And then why put Harrison when you put Cole to warm up a long time ago?
Yeah,
They had Cole in the bullpen before even the Nationals made any changes, you know?
Yeah, it just seemed weird. From looking at it on TV, it's like, okay, if you're going to go with this guy, and he's pitching his butt off, and Greinke was pitching his butt off, the only person that seemed like you'd give him the hook for would be Gerrit Cole. There would be no in-between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it felt weird. Did it feel weird live when you were there?
Yeah, everybody was in shock, really, like, what just happened? And then, or why put Cole to warm up then if you're not going to use them?
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR, the one, the only, Alin Carrasco. So here's my question then, and I'm going to fast forward to the end of the game, and I'm going to talk on the loser side before we go to the Nationals. Gerrit Cole comes out. He doesn't have on any Houston Astros hat. He writes this nice Twitter feed the following day, thanking everyone in the organization except AJ Hinch. It's kind of funny. Thanks fans, thanks players, thanks ownership, thanks everyone. Did he seemed like that was it for him from being there. Like, you know what? You didn't put me in. You should have put me in. And I'm done. I'm out of here.
Yes. And then, well, and the rumors before, I think it was around when they were playing the Yankees, actually, were that the Yankees are after Cole. You know?
And
so I feel like, especially if the Astros maybe would have won, he probably maybe would have stayed, you know? But I feel like now he's definitely getting out of there. Especially after that happened. Like, how do you not put him in?
So I had my dude on the other day, right after World Series, Jose Romero, and I asked him this question. I'm going to ask you the same question. So in basketball, if a star is sitting on a bench, someone else may say, hey, coach, is it time to get number three in? And in football, wide receivers, running backs will walk over to the offensive coordinator and say, hey, all right, enough with this nonsense. Time to look my way. Time to get me the ball. In baseball, why is there not that sense where someone says, you know, Greinke, when AJ comes out, says, hey, coach, now's not the time. I'm rolling. I need to pitch some more. And if you're going to come get me, bring Cole in. Why does baseball not have that type of
– That's what needed to happen.
But they don't have that. Why do you think baseball doesn't do that?
Man, that I really don't know, but they should. And I think – I don't know why Greinke didn't say that, especially – the type of player that you are, but I really don't know, actually. But that is something that needs to happen. Somebody needs to take a little bit of charge, you know?
Yeah, because I can see someone coming to get Randy Johnson after 76 pitches, and Randy Johnson saying, if you don't get off my mound and take your butt back to that dugout, we about to have a problem out here. So... sometimes I wish baseball would do that. But I want to switch to the other side. And I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the great Eileen Carrasco on with me on the Cave Show with PLR. I saw you interviewing the Nationals. The Nationals were left for dead. 19-31, fought all the way back. They weren't supposed to get to 500. The manager got sick. They weren't supposed to get any further than that. Then they weren't supposed to make it to the playoffs. Then they weren't supposed to beat the Dodgers. Then they weren't supposed to beat that. I mean, everything that everyone said they couldn't do, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about for me the elation in that clubhouse when they were celebrating and the feeling that they had to have that, you know what, crap, this is for everyone that said we couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. It was – the feelings in between the clubhouses honestly were like night and day. Night and day, I did go into the clubhouse for the Astros after the game. It was after game six, and I went because I wanted to interview Urquidy, the Mexican baseball pitcher. But the clubhouse there was, it felt a little weird, felt a little odd. They were not as close and as family, I want to say, like close like family as the Nationals.
Okay.
And it was really night and day. And that is something that they did say. So they started, you know, nobody, like you said, they weren't even supposed to be there. They had less than 0.1% chance of even making it there. And in the first 50 games, they had the worst record. It was like 19-31. And I want to say, and I'm going to be proud and say this, I'm the good luck charm. Because when I went to go visit the Nationals, back in May, early June, and I told one of my good friends, he used to work for MLB, he's now the director of security over there, and I told him, I was like, because I had worked previously with him in the past two World Series, and I was like, see you again in the World Series? And he's all like, man, we haven't been doing so good, you know, but we're trying to, turn things around, but you know what, if you say it's going to happen. And then when they get to the World Series, yep, that's what happened. So I told him in the beginning. So ever since then, you know, that's what I like to say. But yes, ever since that happened in May, things completely changed for them. It completely changed. And I asked them, you know, I asked the guys, it's like, hey, what happened? Like, what was it that really kind of, you know, had you guys do a complete change in the season. And they said the clubhouse. The clubhouse yeah. togetherness, the family, they really put emphasis. And everybody I talked to, the coaches, the players, they said ever since Gerardo Parra went to the team, things changed. And it was, he brought it more together, everybody together. And if you do you remember when Gerardo was here, how he was the leader of the clubhouse as well? People loved him here.
I do.
Said.
Yep.
Remember how he changed things around, you know? He really took that leader role, motivated the kids and everybody because, I mean, they're young. The Diamondbacks were young. So over there,
yep.
he really did change things. And at one time, and I also talked with one of the reporters from Telemundo, Washington, that, I mean, Parra, he didn't start, you know, he didn't even have a team in the beginning of the season. I saw him here with the Giants and they got released back again. And he's a two-time Gold Glove winner. Like, it's not like he's not good and he has a great arm. But he hasn't been doing good. And also, I mean, you got three great outfielders in the Nationals. You know, who are you going to take out? But
right.
things were different. And then Dave Martinez goes and approaches him and is like, hey, but I was going on. He's like, well, you know, I haven't been playing well. And, you know, he was being down in the dugout. And he's like, your role here is basically, you know, to pump up the team. To bring the team together. He's like, that's your role, and that's what I need you to do. I need you to do that. And then he's like, you know what? You're right. You're right. And then that's when the little lucky glasses and the baby shark and everything else, you know, he brought the clubhouse together and really got playing like a family. And they really just took it one day at a time. And look where it got them, you know? Snuck in through the wild card, went past all the teams that they said were not going to make it, and easily. And now that, you know, they beat one of the toughest teams in the league, which is the Astros, with the great pitching. Because as soon as Greinke went into that team, we said, okay, the Astros want to get crowned world champs now.
Mm-hmm.
And they mm-hmm. took him down. And at their house.
That's just incredible. Yeah, that's a great story. In fact, that's a great story about you being – so are the Nationals going to get you a World Series ring? Because when they do, I want
to
see it.
But I need to talk to Mike Rizzo about that one.
That is awesome.
Like, let me tell you what happened.
That is awesome. On the Kerry Lackey long line, the one and only Lynn Carrasco. So you're in there. There's certain guys. I know you're happy for Parra. I was happy for Parra. I was happy for Eden. Happy, obviously, for Huddy. And Corbin and some of those old Diamondbacks. But there's one guy that stood out to me more than anybody, and that was hat-tilted Fernando Rodney. He had to be elated to finally get that World Series title.
Man, he was ecstatic. I talked to him game two. And, you know, calm, cool, collected. We love Fernando Rodney. I love seeing him again because he was a lot of D-back presence. That's what I loved about the Washington
yep.
as well. I felt that's why it felt a little bit more like family, you know. But let me talk about Fernando Rodney. So yes, and then he is the oldest active player right now. So it actually feels even better for him, like, you know. And he says he feels like he's 29 years old, and he's out there, and he really had – this is his second World Series. He won with the Tigers, but he didn't win that year. So this is his actual first World Series championship. And he was just – had as lost for words. He was excited. They all had tears in their eyes. This was a moment for them. And I feel like, especially for him, after so many years in the league, and at the age that where you're like, some people never even get to see a World Series, you know? And he did.
Yeah.
As the oldest active player in the MLB, and I think that's awesome.
Well, I'm always on the side of the old guy. So gray hairs beware. So I'm with him 100%. It just seemed like such a great experience. And it had to rank up there with, I know you do the World Series a lot, but that one had to rank up there for one of the most enjoyables to cover.
I know. You know what? I'm always thinking, man, I witnessed history in every World Series. And then after that crazy longest game ever in the world history, World Series history last year, I was like, man, you know, I feel like it can't get better. And guess what? Every year it does get better. So this one, this is definitely one of the top ones, especially because it felt, I mean, I remember with Parra, both of us started working with the Diamondbacks 6 years ago, you know. So to see a guy mm-hmm. from the minor leagues, you know, rise up and actually get a World Series. We also have Patrick Corbin, who was with the Diamondbacks, Fernando Rodney. We had the three pitchers that from Game 7, Scherzer, Corbin, and Hudson also. And then we also, their catching coach, Henry Blanco, was also with the Diamondbacks.
True, that's
Chip
right.
Chip Hale as well. Yeah, so we had, it was so many Diamondbacks presents. And it was because of, well, Mike Rizzo, you know, because he was with the scout with the Diamondbacks for the really long time. And he actually wanted that ownership. He wanted to get for that position of GM here, and they didn't give it to him. So he went on and got the job in Washington. And he brought a lot of Diamondbacks, all his contacts as well, you know, from coaching staff to players as well. And he worked it out, and he tweaked it, and now world champs. So also,
yep, that is awesome.
That goes to show you that the men in the offices also have a lot to do with, you know, determining whether you want to win a championship or not in this league as well.
Wow, that's so cool. So everyone, understand, you just got an education from the top of the top. You got an incredible story. I love the story, though. I want to see that World Series ring. And if you need a strong arm person to go in there and get that ring, give me a call. Now, I'm not saying I'll do it, but give me a call. I know some people. And we'll strong arm that ring on your finger.
We need it.
Yes. So baseball's wrapped up. Tell everyone what's next. Where can they see you next?
Well, now the Suns have started, that's where we saw each other in the media day. So Suns, now I'm back. We'll be covering the Suns, and also for the first time ever, I'm actually covering hockey.
Whoa!
Yes.
There you go.
So I don't know if I told you. Well, because the new owner, Alex Morello, is actually the first Latina owner in NHL. How cool is that? First Latina owner,
cool.
And we have him here in our state. So he really wants to reach out to the Hispanic community, really get involved, and they actually had their first night ever of Noche Los Yotes, and they also had, they started all their social media sites on Twitter, on Instagram, Los Yotes as well, and it's really, really taking off. So, of course, you know, they're like, we need to connect to the Hispanic community. They reached out to me. I went over there. They actually had mariachi. They had everything. They had dancers from the Noche Los Yotes. It was awesome. It was incredible. It was a great experience. I went around, and they actually did see a lot of Hispanics enjoying the game, and many for the first time, which is awesome, because if you haven't seen a hockey game in person, it's totally different, and it's an experience. It's awesome. You don't really kind of have to fully understand the game, and I promise, like, you'll get into it. Because that's what happened
to
me at the beginning, you know?
That is awesome. Well, obviously, if they're going to reach out, they reached out to the right person. So I know you're going to knock that out the box for sure. So congratulations. Good job on that. Very proud of you, as always.
Thank you.
But you know I will be seeing you, though, at the Suns, because, you know, that's where I've been going for 9 years. I'm trying to be a good luck charm, too. 9 years in, so maybe this is
like
it.
Yes, my sixth season as well. How fast does time go by?
Yeah, it does not take long at all. So please tell everyone how they can follow you, where they can see everything that you do.
Yes, please. So Aileen Carrasco, I'm going to spell it out because, you know, it's a little complicated. A-I-L-E-E-N. And then _TV, that's for my Instagram and Twitter as well. And on Facebook, you can find me with my first and last name. Last name is Carrasco. Now, if you can say it like that, can you roll the R?
Can I roll R's? Carrasco.
There you go.
See, caught you off guard with that one. You know, look, us brothers from the west side of Chicago, we got a little bit of skill somewhere. It could pop out every now and then. But, you know, I thank you so much. And I will take what you said, and don't be surprised if on a future show I play that story next time we get into baseball. And I appreciate you coming on. I can't wait to see you over at the Suns. And as usual, you are the best. Folks, make sure you are following her. She's a reporter, host, marketing specialist, TV personality. She's got it going with the Yotes now. Listen to me. If you are not down with her, that's a you problem, not a her problem. So alleviate that problem and make sure you're following my friend, Aline Carrasco. Carrasco. There we go.
Yes. Thank you so much. It's always so great talking to you. And I'm so excited to see you soon with the sun.
Sounds good. And you go get some sleep because you need it.
Yeah, I got an hour nap. I do need sleep.
All right, my friend. Thank you again.
No problem. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, we need to take a quick one. We'll come back and put a ribbon on this bad boy.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
So Steph Curry is going to be out at least 3 months. That takes us pretty much to the All-Star break. Honestly, I would find another ailment. I would. At that point, why would you be playing Steph Curry? For fans, my son would kill me. He is probably the biggest Steph Curry fan you'll ever meet. It would kill me if you heard me say that. But I don't want Steph to get hurt anymore. So, yeah, he's got to come back. He's got to play. I'm kidding. But at the same time, I'm not playing Steph 40 minutes a night. I'm not playing Steph 35 minutes a night. Get in there. Get what time you need. Get your butt. Sit your butt down. So, as my great-grandmother would say, go sit your butt down somewhere. Because I am not overplaying Steph Curry when he comes back from that injury. 3 months in, for the purpose of what? What exactly would you be trying to bring him back to do what?
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave at PLR.
Uh-oh, you know what that means. It means we're about to mention the Suns. So the Suns are back in action tomorrow against Memphis. And I'm going to really say what I can't believe I'm really going to say. The Suns should be expected to win that game. Suns are a good team. This is a game I expect the Suns to win. Here's what's really sad, though. If you're in the Memphis area, you go on a StubHub and get some tickets for $5. Hell, I think parking might be more, so get someone to drop you off. Tonight, we got a good matchup. The Lakers play Dallas. That's a game I'm going to try to watch on ESPN. That should be a good one. So make sure that you're checking that out. We'll get more into some basketball talk next week. We're also going to wrap up some, you know what Monday is. Let's clean up the football day. Wow, time goes fast when you're having fun. Thank you, Aline Carrasco, for joining us today. Show with PLR. Always fun to have you on there. Great story, huh? Great story how she went to Washington, told him, hey, I'll see you in the World Series. And sure enough, she saw him in the World Series. At the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Caves with a K, sportscave.com, Caves with a K. ASU's off this weekend. Cardinals off this weekend. Like yesterday. I'm free. Son's out of town. I'm free. No, I'm not. I'm on some stuff to get into. Be on the lookout for some articles coming your way on sportscave.com. Make sure you follow me on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Everyone, enjoy your weekend. This has been The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Take care of yourself. And like I said, we will see you on Monday.